BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. It's going to be a news roundup day today, as many stories have been accumulated here. Sandy's been getting these all ready for us. And folks, some of these things are rather shocking. Matters that are going on around the world, we're going to be getting into, yes, even statements coming from governments around the world, various countries, mandating the COVID jab, some indicating they're going to hunt people down to give the jab, just another round of stories on numerous other issues as well. Somebody has, I heard an evangelist compare it to the times in which we're living, to the two-minute warning of a football game, where the intensity just really picks up, the urgency picks up, the intensity picks up. And I thought it was a good characteristic of these times in which we live, and should be a reminder to believers in Christ the importance of being salt and light. Yes, we need to advance the gospel message. We also, as we stand up, have a preservative effect upon our society as well. So continue to be salt, continue to be light. We know that this world is getting darker and darker, but the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. Let's get into some of these stories here today. First of all, from Newsmax.com, thousands of Cubans have taken part in rare protests this past Sunday against the communist government, chanting "down with the dictatorship," as the president there called his supporters to confront the demonstrators. The anti-government rally started spontaneously in several cities as the country endures its worst economic crises in 30 years, with chronic shortages of electricity and food. Oh, the joys of communism. Several hundred protesters marched through the capital, Havana, chanting "we want liberty," with a heavy military and police pressure deployed after demonstrators massed outside the Capitol building. Police used tear gas to disperse the crowds, and at least 10 people were arrested. A number of issues going on there. Also being reported here from Daily Wire, the AP is reporting Tuesday that Cuban police are beefing up patrols, allegedly at the behest of the Cuban president, who has made clear he will respond to these pro-democracy movements with force. An internet blackout, however, has descended on the country, making stories of Cuban officials' response to the protest difficult to confirm. Also, very interesting, amid this flood across southern the border that's taking place, and the Biden administration having a red carpet treatment for those crossing the Mexican border to the U.S., his administration says Cuban refugees will not be let into the United States. He's taking a strikingly different view of refugees hoping to flee to the U.S. from the communist regime of Cuba than it does for illegal immigrants from Mexico. The U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, stressing Tuesday that members of the former group will be allowed to enter the country, will not be allowed to enter. And this from LifeSiteNews.com. He said, "We stand in solidarity with the Cuban people and their call for freedom from their repression and economic suffering that the Cuban authoritarian regime is causing. But the time is never right to attempt migration by sea. To those who risk their lives doing so, this risk is not worth taking. Allow me to be clear," he said. "If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States." Now, I wonder if he'd say that to those crossing the Rio Grande. I wonder if he'd say that to those who are illegally crossing the borders and the coyotes who are bringing individuals across. He said, "Allow me to be clear to those fleeing communist Cuba. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States. If individuals establish a well-founded fear of persecution or torture, they're referred to third countries for resettlement. We don't want you here. We'll send you to a third country for resettlement." Isn't that a striking difference from what we are seeing at our southern border? Information coming to us from the Western Journal: Texas Democrats, who are determined to avoid having to sit in the legislative chamber while Republicans pass election reform, which they disagree. They fled Texas. We did a program on that. But they're partially being funded. Willie Nelson and former Democratic Representative Beto O'Rourke are among those helping defray the cost of the The legislators who ran away from their responsibilities being put up at the Washington Plaza Hotel in D.C. and plan to stay there until the special session ends. However, the governor said he's going to call another one right after that. Well, estimated expenses are $10,000 a day just for the hotel bill. And as of Wednesday afternoon, well, the effort to collect monies for the bills they have brought in more than $526,000 from over 14,000 donors. Interesting indeed. By the way, the House Speaker, the Texas House Speaker, chartering a flight for Democrats to return to the state. He said he's keeping it on standby in D.C., waiting to bring home the lawmakers that fled the state to avoid voting on this election integrity bill. Matt Staver at Liberty Council reports that Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and Nestle are among the 166 corporations that have signed on to a letter urging Congress to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Very interesting indeed. Corporate America jumping full on board with this. Let's see. Coming from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Google was hit with fines in both Germany and France this week, totaling nearly $600 million. One case related to censorship of a COVID-19 lockdown protest video, the other for treatment of copyrights and content publishers. Frustration has boiled over into court action against the big tech in Europe, and it's time the U.S. took action too, said Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. The era of COVID-19 has put big tech in the crosshairs of citizens and governments, as corporate behemoths have taken upon themselves the mantle of deciding which is and not worthy of free speech. Speech, that is. Their censorship of both private citizens and public figures is especially frightening, end of quote. From townhall.com, speaking to reporters at the White House Thursday afternoon, Jen Psaki, the press secretary, explained how the White House and federal government are working to flag posts on Facebook, which they see as being problematic. Early last year, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg emailed Dr. Anthony Fauci offering a partnership to promote and police information about the Wuhan coronavirus. That led to Facebook, at Fauci's direction, censoring the lab leak theory for more than a year. Coming from the Daily Signal, multiple parents have filed lawsuits against Washington, D.C. for allowing children to receive vaccines without parental knowledge or consent. In a lawsuit filed Monday by the Children's Defense, Children's Health Defense and Parental Rights Foundation against D.C. Mayor, four parents called for a preliminary injunction prohibiting D.C. from enforcing the D.C. Minor Consent for a Vaccinations Amendment Act of 2020. Right now, folks, and we warned you about this, this allows children who are 11 years old or older to be deemed, quote, capable of meeting the informed consent standard to consent to vaccines without their parental knowledge or consent. Well, parents said, we've had enough of this. They filed a lawsuit against this. But right now, they allow vaccinations to take place without parental knowledge and without parental consent. I don't have time to get into cases, but the story goes on. Here is one dad with a daughter who's had severe reactions previously to vaccinations that she's received. And he's involved in filing action against this. From the Cincinnati Inquirer, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed a bill that will prevent public schools and universities from mandating COVID-19 vaccines for students and staff until they receive full approval from federal officials. Language added to the House Bill 244 will prevent schools and universities from requiring the shot that haven't received full U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval. All three COVID-19 vaccines were approved under emergency use authorization, end of quote. From the New American, under orders by Michigan Supreme Court, the Board of State Canvassers Tuesday voted to allow a petition to be presented to the state legislature for consideration and likely passage into law. What's unique is that the Michigan Supreme Court has already ruled that the 1945 Emergency Powers of Governor Act is unconstitutional. Well, a group called Unlock Michigan, made up of citizens, increasingly are infuriated by Whitmer's executive orders and the expansion of her draconian lockdowns, gathered more than enough signatures to allow the petition to be presented to both houses of the Michigan legislature next week. The Western Journal reporting that the Food and Drug Administration is adding a new warning for Americans who get the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine based on reports of a rare nerve disease in those who receive the shots. Reports of adverse effects following use of the Janssen COVID-19 vaccine under emergency use authorization, the EAU, suggest an increased risk of Guillain-Barré syndrome during the 42 days following vaccination. This is in a letter dated Monday to Janssen Biotech, the division of Johnson & Johnson that developed the vaccine. The FDA said that in a letter. About 100 preliminary reports of Guillain-Barré have been reported, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Of those 95 were serious, required the patients to be hospitalized, the FDA said, and even a person has died from them. The Defender is reporting that for months, Doctors of COVID Ethics, it's a Europe-based international alliance of hundreds of concerned doctors and scientists, have been issuing some urgent warnings about the short and long-term risk of COVID vaccines, particularly for children. In May, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the European Medicines Agency extended Pfizer's emergency use authorization, previously granted for ages 16 and up, to 12 to 15-year-olds. Pfizer was the first company to test experimental COVID shots in children and is the only manufacturer thus far to have been granted EUA for vaccine recipients under age 18. In addition to submitting three letters to the EMA, Doctors for COVID Ethics, May 18th, served notices of liability to all members of the European Parliament for COVID vaccine-related harms and deaths to children. Now three of the group's founding signatories have assembled in one document powerful expert evidence showing the COVID shots are not the only are not only unnecessary and ineffective, but also dangerous for children and adolescents. As the medical and scientific trio compellingly argues, the evidence allows only one possible conclusion. Not only should Pfizer's vaccine not be given to adolescents, but its use needs to stop immediately in all age groups. That's from the Children's Health Defense publication called The Defender. LifeSiteNews.com reporting, according to a long list of studies contradicting recent statements by Joe Biden's chief medical advisor, Anthony Fauci, statistics out of Israel indicate that the immune response of those individuals who have recovered from COVID-19 is approximately 6.72 times greater than those who accept the experimental COVID-19 gene therapy injections. As reported by Israel National News, data submitted to the nation's health ministry shows that COVID-19 patients who recovered from the virus were far less likely to become infected than people who were vaccinated against COVID. LifeSiteNews.com telling us Rand Paul of Kentucky, a senator, introduced legislation to repeal the current mask mandate on America's public transportation. Shortly after Mr. Biden became president, he put this made it a federal crime to use public transportation without a mask. In a press release, Senator Paul revealed his plan to propose the Travel Mask Mandate Repeal Act of 2021. U.S. Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona is also introducing companion legislation in the House of Representatives. And all of this while Los Angeles puts its mask mandate back into effect. Whether you've been received the jab or not, goes into effect Saturday night, 11:59 p.m. Back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the fossil record prove evolution?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, it couldn't prove evolution because evolution didn't happen. I don't even think it supports evolution very well. What we see in the fossil record are the same kinds of plants and animals which are alive today. They can be put in the various categories, such as clams or snails or brachiopods. Some animals, like the dinosaurs, have gone extinct, but none of the fossils seem to point to one type of animal evolving or changing into another type. That's because evolution simply didn't happen. What did happen is creation. Creation of the basic types of plants and animals that God created. They exist into the present day or else have gone extinct, but nothing else has arisen since then. And that's the way it is back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Just wondering, do you have a 3-year-old at home, a 4-year-old, 5-year-old? Well, according to Dr. Fauci, children as young as 3, they need to be wearing masks. British medical's advisor, Biden's medical advisor, Dr. Fauci, appeared on MSNBC with Andrea Mitchell on Tuesday and said there was no doubt kids as young as 3 years old should be wearing masks. He said, quote, unvaccinated children of a certain age greater than 2 years old should be wearing masks. Well, that would be include every child because so far there's been no shot that's been available for those under the age of 12. But every child, according to Dr. Fauci, then should be masked up. From the New American, communist Chinese authorities are now mandating the coronavirus shot. According to the Wall Street Journal, multiple cities and counties have mandated that all adults over the age of 18 be fully vaccinated by late August. Starting around late July, most of those areas will also prohibit unvaccinated individuals from entering schools, hospitals, nursing homes, libraries, and other public places. Isn't that something? Without the shot, you will be prohibited. Now, this is, again, in China, certain counties and cities in China, they will prohibit unvaccinated individuals from entering schools, hospitals, nursing homes, libraries, and other public places. Communist China is not alone in mandating the shot. Multiple countries worldwide have implemented strict mandates, reports the New American. France announced it will require all health workers to take the vaccine. It will also prohibit all unvaccinated individuals from visiting public places. Similar mandates for health workers have been imposed in Australia, Greece, Italy, and the United Kingdom, while Poland will mandate that it be given for those at high risk from COVID-19. Other countries have implemented even broader mandates, with Indonesia and Turkmenistan mandating the vaccine outright, and with Kazakhstan, Russia, and Saudi Arabia implementing strict vaccine passport systems. But friends, when you hear, I'm going to play an audio clip for you out of New Zealand, because who you are about to hear, and we thank our New Zealand listeners for helping us with this, Chris Hipkins, the Minister for COVID-19 Response, and also the Minister of Education and Minister for Public Service, a leader of the Labour Party under Jacinda Ardern. Chris Hipkins works alongside the Director General of Health for New Zealand, Ashley Bloomfield. Every day together, they update the public on what's happening regarding COVID in New Zealand. He's a member of Jacinda's cabinet, also makes decisions for the country regarding COVID, the vaccine passports, mandated mandatory tracing. And I'd like you to hear Chris Hipkins, Minister for COVID-19 Response, out of New Zealand. Here's the clip.
I think early next year we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, you know, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for, and some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will, but I can't say that, you know, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
Did you hear that? He talked about chasing out people, going out and looking for people. Everybody will take it. It's only 34 seconds. I want to play it one more time to let it sink in what's coming from this health. It's a COVID-19 response, Minister for COVID-19 Response, Minister of Education, Minister for Public Service, Chris Hipkins out of New Zealand.
I think early next year we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, you know, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for, and some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will, but I can't say that, you know, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
Yeah, they're going to be going out and searching for people who have not taken this shot. That's out of New Zealand. Now, friends, New Zealand is just, did you know the largest protest in New Zealand history has just taken place? Cities and towns across the country, I mean, there are farmers that are bringing the country to a standstill, traffic to a standstill at least, as they've turned up in their thousands to demand the government listen to them. It's been billed the largest protest in Christchurch, New Zealand. They're very concerned as to the heavy hand of government on the environmental policies that are impacting farming, climate change issues that are being forced upon them. The organization said people were feeling overwhelmed by the avalanche of poorly designed policies, and we know the best one-size-fits-all mindset to the current government. And joining farmers, I mean, there were business owners and city residents that lend their support as well. And this is from stuff.co.nz, that's the country of New Zealand. And residents, here's one, said concerned that the government was putting a squeeze on New Zealand food supplies. Said, are we going to be better off importing all our food in the future? It's just insane. Putting heavy policies on. And folks, we find out what's happening to our nation right now as we become so dependent upon China for the very products that we need and use here in the United States. Look where it's gotten us. Interesting story coming from the Washington Examiner. Everybody said, oh, look at healthcare. National healthcare is just so great. Canada's healthcare system is one in which a patient can die from literally having to wait. That's the warning from a new study from SecondStreet.org. It's an upstart think tank based in the capital city in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan. Under Canadian's system, hospitals and clinics received a fixed amount called a global budget from the government to spend on healthcare every year. So to keep funds from running out, hospitals often limit the number of procedures they perform, resulting in patients ending up on waiting lists for treatment. The waits for treatment can often last months and in some cases years. Researchers at SecondStreet.org wanted to find out how many Canadians die while on the waiting list for care. The results, eye-opening. Over 8,400 Canadians died while on a waiting list for treatment, including 2,256 who died waiting for surgery and 6,202 who died waiting for a diagnostic test or appointment with a specialist. The benefits we continue to be told of nationalized health care, 8,400 Canadians dead waiting for healthcare. USA Today reporting overdose deaths soared to a record 93,000 last year in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. The estimate far eclipses the high of 72,000 drug overdoses, overdose deaths, that is, the previous year, amounts to a 29% increase. The CDC reviewed death certificates to come up with the estimate for 2020 drug overdose deaths. The estimate of more than 93,000 overdose deaths translates to an average of more than 250 deaths a day, roughly 11 every single hour. Overdose deaths, record numbers here in the United States. Many people turn to drugs in times of despair. Can I encourage you to turn to Jesus Christ? The way, the truth, and the life. Daily Signal reporting that the Arizona Senate will seek more information from the state's most populous county after a hearing Thursday about an audit's findings on election results there. The findings on Maricopa County's presidential election results prompted auditors to pursue a door-to-door canvassing of suspect voters. Nearly 4,000 Maricopa County voters in the presidential election registered after the court-ordered deadline of October 15th, according to Cyber Ninja's CEO Doug Logan. The audit found about 18,000 voters who voted in November were removed from the voter rolls after the election, Logan said. He also specified over 74,000 mail-in ballots where there is no clear record of them being sent. 74,000 mail-in ballots coming back to process through where there is no clear record of them being sent. I think when we've got 74,000 questionable ballots, it merits knocking on a door and validating some of this information, he said. And so we continue to watch as to what's happening in Maricopa County. And by the way, their board of supervisors just approved this plan to spend some $2.8 million to replace election equipment that had deemed disqualified after the subpoena machines had their audit. They went back to Dominion to buy the machines. 5-0 they voted Wednesday for the purchase after Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs warned that the machines would be decertified after they had access for the review. Under the amended contract with Dominion Voting Systems, the county will require, or rather acquire, 385 new precinct tabulators and 9 new central counters, as well as the election management hardware required to run them. Think about that. Let's go to the state of Georgia. This coming from Western Journal. President Trump, who supported several state audits of the 2020 presidential election due to numerous reported instances of fraud throughout the nation, welcomed a report that came by Voter Georgia on Wednesday. The organization noted that members of its data team discovered 923 of 1,539 mail-in ballot batch files contained votes incorrectly reported in Fulton's official November 3rd 2020 results. The error reporting rate in Fulton's hand count audit is a whopping 60%. The error rate is 60%. The organization further stated that one kind of error its investigators encountered was duplicate results reporting for ballots. According to the news release, at least 36 batches of mail-in ballots with 4,255 total extra votes were redundantly added into Fulton County audit results for the November election. Let's look at a couple court issues going on. From Newsmax.com, a federal appeals court ruled Tuesday that regulations setting a minimum age of 21 for handgun purchases from licensed dealers violates the Second Amendment right of those citizens. Yes, 18-year-olds are able to have them, and some had tried to put that off to 21. They said that's not constitutional. Also from the Daily Citizen, prayers that begin a courtroom session are part of an abundant history and tradition of courtroom prayer in America and does not violate the First Amendment Establishment Clause, is a decision from the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And from Liberty Counsel, he reports, Matt Staver, that the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals recently ruled 7-3 that churches and religious organizations have the freedom to choose and supervise their religious leaders without government intrusion. Let's get to the life issue. LifeNews.com reporting that congressional Democrats defeated Republicans' attempt yesterday to reinstate a popular longstanding ban on taxpayer funding for elective abortions in federal spending bills. During a House Appropriations Committee meeting, U.S. Representative Tom Cole of Oklahoma led Republicans in calling for the Hyde Amendment to be restored. He introduced a measure to add the Hyde Amendment to the federal spending bills and to protect the lives of unborn babies and the conscience rights of Americans. And the Democratic-controlled Congress said no way, and they defeated the amendment. There in committee 27, the vote was 27-32. Hyde Amendment prohibits taxpayer funding for most abortions in Medicaid and other federal programs. It is credited with saving about 2.4 million babies' lives, and polls also show strong public support for it. We'll have some more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The film, Unidentified, tells the story of two reporters tasked with getting the answers to the claims of UFO sightings. One reporter is an antagonist toward Christianity. The other, a Christian who is challenged on his beliefs.
I'm asking an honest question here. And according to the guru, the Bible says you have to receive Jesus in your life. So either you've done it or you haven't. So which is it, heaven or hell? Come on, Keith, heaven or hell? Answer the question, heaven or hell?
I don't know.
But I thought you were supposed to be a Christian.
Be challenged by the Rich Cristiano film, Unidentified. Available on DVD for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $8 more. For your copies of Unidentified, call 1-800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. A few more things I'd like to share with you, and then we'll be opening some phone lines to give you opportunity to weigh in on some of these issues. Centerville, Texas, well, it just became the 33rd city in the U.S. to ban abortions by passing a sanctuary city for the unborn ordinance, reports LifeNews.com. Also, Life News was reporting that earlier this month, pro-abortion research group the Guttmacher Institute, again, that's pro-abortion research group Guttmacher Institute, released a policy analysis dubbing this year to date the worst legislative year ever for U.S. abortion rights. In the first half of 2021, states have passed 90 laws to advance the cause of life. Previous record was 89. But according to Guttmacher, 90% of these laws this year have been enacted in states that the group deems hostile to abortion rights. They have called this the worst year for abortion rights and abortion access in U.S. history. Daily Citizen is reporting inflation spiking 5.4% year over year in June. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics revealed in its latest Consumer Price Index summary on Tuesday. That means that families will begin feeling a pinch in their wallet if they're not already, as the cost of living continues to increase significantly. According to BLS, this was the largest 12-month increase since a 5.4% increase for this period ending August of 2008. So the largest increase since 2008. Let's see, energy prices skyrocketed 24.5%, gasoline up 45.1%. The price for used cars and trucks leapt 45.2%. Transportation services increased 10.4%. Daily Signal tells us that this is the most on track to be the most expensive White House staff in U.S. history. Nearly $50 million in annual cost. The 567 people employed at the White House, cost of $200 million over his four-year term. That's compared to the Trump administration, the one last term, $164.3 million. Obama administration, $188.5 million, now costing some $200 million over the four-year period. Okay, CBN News tells us the United Arab Emirates officially opened its embassy in Tel Aviv Wednesday. The UAE ambassador said it's a great honor for this country to open an embassy in Israel. Looks like others are continuing to follow suit there. Breitbart reporting that President Biden's administration is using United States Armed Forces to help fly illegal aliens into the interior of the U.S., Fox News' Tucker Carlson reveals. On Wednesday evening, Carlson unveiled internal emails in which Lieutenant Governor Matthew Burroughs informs military personnel that commercial planes at Laughlin Air Force Base east of Del Rio, Texas, will board and fly illegal aliens into the U.S. interior. Burroughs, Carlson noted, asked personnel to keep the operation from becoming public. The emails read this, quote, over the next few days, weeks, or months, you will see passenger air traffic on our ramp transporting undocumented non-citizens. Please review the attached public affairs guidance on the issue. His email then instructed uniformed military personnel to hide what's happening on the base. Isn't that something? Those who are oppressed with communist Cuba, you are not welcome in the shores of America. But if you're illegal alien coming in, another border here, we will fly you to destinations around the United States. Breitbart also is reporting to us that law enforcement source within the U.S. Customs and Border Protections says that the ICE Office of Enforcement and Removal Operations officers are ramping up their release or alternatives to detention capabilities. Cell phones with tracking apps will eventually replace ankle monitoring bracelets, according to the release. The source speaking on condition of remaining anonymous says the phones will allow for GPS tracking and check-ins using facial recognition. The available supply of ankle bracelets will be issued until depleted, at which time cell phones will be circulating among those who are in our country illegally. CNSNews.com, Secretary of State Antony Blinken responded Tuesday to criticism by the United Nations Human Rights Apparatus of systemic racism in the U.S. by announcing plans to issue a formal standing invitation to dozens of U.N. rights experts to visit and investigate the United States. He said in a statement, as the president has repeatedly made clear, great nations such as ours do not hide from our shortcomings. They acknowledge them openly and strive to improve with transparency. In so doing, we not only work to set the standard for national response to these challenges, we also strengthen our democracy and give new hope and motivation to human rights defenders across the globe. And so he lays out the welcome mat for the UN human rights members to come in to visit and inspect the alleged systemic racism in the United States. By the way, Epoch Times reporting, over 5,000 teachers have signed a pledge at the Zinn Education Project that states they vow to continue to teach critical race theory concepts to their students, even if outlawed in their state. There's a backlash from parents that are happening on this, but teachers are so committed. Over 5,000, not every teacher, over 5,000 signed a pledge. We will continue to teach CRT. By the way, it's probably they're getting something in Baltimore anyways, because Baltimore City Schools, Fox Baltimore is reporting, has reached an alarming low in student performance. 41% of high school students earned below a 1.0 GPA. That's below D level. 41% of high school students. Well, the NFL 2021 season will include the Black National Anthem and social justice messages again. It will be Black National Anthem is reportedly set to return before NFL games starting in 2021. And they have allowed social justice messages like end racism be painted in the back of teams' end zones. Players are able to honor victims of systemic racism and police violence last year. Front Office Sports reported the NFL plans on ratcheting up the messaging for the 2021 season. Disney canceling Christmas. Yeah, Disney World has canceled Christmas, reports Todd Starnes. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is being rebranded. It's going to be called Disney Very Merriest After Hours, a generic holiday-themed celebration. Fox Business reporting that Democratic legislators in New York are opposing plans to open Chick-fil-A restaurants at rest stops in the state, citing the fast food chain's past donations to groups accused of opposing same-sex marriage, so-called. We received word also that the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, yesterday signed an executive order significantly restricting the use of what they brand as being conversion therapy in the state. And for the Olympics, it's being reported here from OutSports that at least 135 out LGBTQ athletes are headed to the Tokyo Summer Olympics. By far a record, and also a record here, 30 of those are representing Team USA at the Olympics in Tokyo. Let's go to our phone lines here today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. California legislature has unanimously passed a bill that approves taxpayer dollars providing guaranteed monthly income with no restrictions for, like, foster children aging out of a system and for pregnant women. It's the first of its kind in the nation, funding at the state level. California approving the first state-funded guarantee income program. And by the way, there's efforts in the city of Milwaukee as well to bring in guaranteed minimum income that's going to be coming up before the Milwaukee Common Council very, very soon. Okay, so let's go to the phone lines. Yeah, lines are packed here already. We're going to begin in East Troy. And William, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I know I get a little excited when I hear about some of the junk that the Biden administration is doing. But I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ today. I called my senator for the state of Wisconsin and said, don't let Mr. Biden send his vaccine thugs into Wisconsin. I called my state senator. I called my congressman. And I can't believe that even one of former President Obama's health and human service people or health secretary said that those that aren't vaccinated shouldn't be allowed to work or even be around children. I'm just wanting to encourage all of us to get involved, call and put, you know, loving pressure on these people, and even call these local sports teams in your state and say, look, if you're going to promote these garbage ideas, we are not supporting you. We're going to boycott you and put pressure on them and get them where it hurts. So we just have to keep honoring the Lord with our lives, but I think we need to stay involved and go against those things that we know defile human beings here in our country. So thank you for your good work today again. God bless.
Thank you, William. Appreciate your comments today. Robert is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air. And Robert just hung up. Let's go then to Zach in River Falls. You're on the air, Zach.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment and say do your part to stop communism. Follow the Ten Commandments and the Constitution. Nothing was ever won waving the white flag. And just a friendly reminder that sometimes the hunter becomes the hunted. Thanks.
Thank you, Zach. Let's go to South Dakota. Kevin, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, thank you so much for your ever faithful presenting the truth. And it's got to be depressing at the end of the day when you check out and go home and the burden that's upon you, what you bring forth every day. I just have a couple quick thoughts. One is it's getting more and more believable to believe the election was filled with fraud more so than it is to believe that 80 million people would have voted for Biden. And two is it's just interesting to see Biden saying no to the Cubans, no, not allowing them to come, and with good reason. You can see the reading, you know, read between the lines. He's not going to allow the Cubans to come to this country because they would be coming speaking against socialism
yes,
and communism.
Yes, they would be.
Could you imagine putting them interviewing several of those on your program and listening to them speak and speak of the freedom, what they've lost, and the freedom they can that they want to have here? The administration and the agenda. The news media is not going to allow that to happen. Do you agree with those thoughts, Jim?
Well, I do. They don't want that message to come here. And though you will have, you know, rhetoric coming from the Biden administration in regard to speaking against communism, their actions are speaking louder than words on this, Kevin. And just by the way that they are treating people from Cuba escaping the oppression there to what we see happening at the southern border from Mexico and Central American countries and people from around the world that are coming in through that border. It is very much a double standard there. And, it's really a mixed message coming from the administration.
Right. And this is a word of encouragement. I can't think of the biblical verse. The seven seas are but a puddle in God's hand, and we are but a drop of that. But He knows the hair on our heads. So the world is going to pieces, but the pieces are falling into place. Jim,
amen.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you, Kevin, for your call here today. And friends, we hear the news that's going on, and certainly it's disheartening to hear that's going on, but don't lose hope. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. In this world, ye shall have tribulation, he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we are certainly discouraged in the news that we hear today, but certainly we're encouraged that our God is in control and we can trust him regardless of the circumstances. We'll be back in just a minute here with more of your calls on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Persecution around the world has been growing, but now it has reached the Western cultures. it's reached Canada and America in growing numbers. A recent report titled, Canada Has Become the Church Burning Center of the World. Well, my friends, this report tells us that at least 23 attacks have been leveled against churches, including at least five completely destroyed by fires. And according to one report, Canada's leaders, well, some of them are encouraging it. The head of British Columbia Civil Liberties Association, who claims to, you know, defend civil liberties, reportedly tweeted on June 30th, quote, burn it all down, end quote. There's other articles and other reports coming from those inside the Canadian government that this is actually being encouraged. Persecution. The Bible says it would come. Why should it be shocked?
It's a News Roundup Day here on Crosstalk. We thank you for joining us. And by the way, thank the station that carries Crosstalk. Thank them and support them and get behind them. Let them know that you appreciate the program airing daily on the station and keeping you informed on critical issues. Let's go to our friend Courtney in Miami, Florida. Hi, Courtney.
God bless all you sleeping. How you doing today? I'm so glad to hear y'all. And one thing I want to do is lift up the name of Jesus. I ask God and you sisters and brothers out there, ask them to shut down all of them abortion-killing clinics, all of them. And the one thing you have to look at this government and Cuba, is Satan divided against himself? But who wins in the end? I want to read this one passage real fast. It's just one verse so somebody else can get on. It's John 17, 11, and 12. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. And here's the clincher. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Saints, just hold on to the end. God has got you in his hand, and watch your children, because even in Cuba, they say, how now, they're abusing the boys. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney. Indeed, keeping our eyes on the Lord, so critical. Anna is calling from Watertown. You're on the air, Anna.
Yes, I praise the Lord for VCY. Excuse me. Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. I'm a child care worker. And we are a public ministry where I work, and most of us have not taken the vaccine. Some of our workers have, and we've already seen this devastation, but we praise the Lord, and we know he's going to reign, and he rules, and we just praise the Lord constantly. Thank you for that last caller, Courtney from Florida, because I just got totally lifted up. I'm laughing and crying at the same time, but please pray for the public child care minister places and workers, because we want to minister to these children. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna. We've got Leroy calling from Atlanta. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, I got a story for you, and I have a question. The story for you is here in Georgia, we have two hospital groups that are requiring their employees to get the COVID-19 shots. That's what the title says. They won't even call them the vaccine, so I say we all call it venom. Here's the question. Have you heard or are you aware if people have had their life insurance canceled because they got the vaccine?
I have not heard that, Leroy. I don't have an answer on that.
Okay. I mean, I know of one individual, but, you know, if anybody out there knows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or if you can find out, you know.
Thank you, Leroy. I don't have an answer. I do know, and there's a ton of information on Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/vaccine. Just amazing the information that is there the testimonies that they have on there as well. And they may have some reference there as well, lc.org/vaccine. Thank you for the call. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. John is calling next from Athens. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Real quick, I just wanted to say kudos to VCY TV. I uploaded it the other day and love it. As far as the vaccine police, I just got on the show here a few minutes ago, but I didn't hear the whole show. But I was wondering if anybody had brought up calling their county sheriff versus the their congressmen and senators, because the sheriff is the most powerful elected official in the county. If they get enough calls, maybe they can do something about people knocking on your doors. That's all.
Thank you, John. Yeah, nobody has raised that issue, so thank you for mentioning that here today.
You bet. Thank you.
By now, yeah, certainly we're seeing the mandate that's going forth in countries around the world, and we see continued pressure coming on. As Matt stated yesterday, we're going to continue to see even a greater push on the FDA to give that final approval for this, to take it out from the emergency use authorization. So more to come on that, but I do encourage you to check out his site and look at the information that they've got available there. We've got Kevin calling from Saxon, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Kevin.
Yeah, Jim, listen, one of your callers earlier brought something up, and it really struck a nerve with me because I've never really thought about it this way. So many of us hear everything that you guys and Brandon House have said, and God bless you guys for it, but you know, we go through stress just hearing the things that you guys put out on the air, which is knowledge that we need to know. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But that one caller made a comment that when you check out, you hear this every day, all week long. And I just really, really want to say thank you to you for everything that you guys are doing. I can't imagine going on the radio every day and having to download all of this stuff into my own head. So I had never really thought about it like that. And then the one other word of encouragement, think of the Israelites when they were up against that water's edge with nowhere to go, and they seen the chariots coming. They knew they were doomed. There was no way out. And then God stepped in. He's not going to let us down. Mm-hmm. We don't know if this is the end time. We don't know. But the one thing we do know, if you've got him in your heart, he's not going to let us down. So God bless you guys. Thank you so much. And my wife and I are going to really start to pray for you also, because like I said, I can't imagine what you go through having to put all of this stuff out every single day and then try to get normalcy out of it when you're not working.
Kevin, thank you.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you for the call, and your prayers are always very welcome. But friends, for all of us, we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And that's how we make it through each day. That's how we make it through every week, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. So stay in God's Word, folks. And by the way, Sunday's coming. I trust that you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church this Lord's Day. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.